What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast, where we talk about politics, society, and culture, and sometimes get a little wild for the greater good. The point of this show is to empower independent thinkers like myself to stand up for what they believe in, and today is no different. I have Alan Roberts and Mark Lobliner here with me to discuss America Today, COVID, and the real pandemic. Before we get into that, though, I'd like to take a second to tell you a little bit about us. I started this podcast as a way to empower independent thinkers and stand up for what they believe in, like I just said. It's turned into an echo chamber, though, and sometimes we need to step out of that echo chamber to learn more and get cultured to the world around us. Not everyone thinks like me or you, and the more I'm reminded of that, the better I become at conversations surrounding topics I may not agree with. It takes practice, and here at the Toasty Podcast, we believe we can help you with those hard conversations. We're not trying to convince anyone to think outside of the box or think one way or the other. We're just the arms dealers. The hosts also lead separate lives outside of this podcast, so when it comes to their personal social media or social circles, they're on their own. Enough about that, though. I don't care if you're listening in your car, your kitchen, or even in your shower while you listen to my beautiful voice serenade you while you're getting lemony fresh clean. You're going to want to turn the volume up to 100 because this one is the toastiest one yet.
Heck yeah, man. Awesome. Well, I guess we can cut to the chase. You know, I don't want to waste too much of y'all's time, but to be honest, I kind of want to start with, you know, just let the listeners know who you guys are. Maybe a little introduction. You know what I mean? Get things rolling.
I'll defer to Alan.
Well, me, my name is Alan Roberts. I run several online fitness businesses. People most know the Every Damn Day Fitness brand, where I started off with kind of like YouTube fitness roasting, which is how I met Mark.
And then he destroyed me. He absolutely fucking destroyed.
I'm what you would call a professional asshole. I really am.
Dude, it took me like all of 2 seconds to find that out. That's awesome. I love it.
but then from there, once I started seeing the scope of how things were changing, I kind of shifted more to health base. Stuff on weight loss. I was a fat fuck myself. I was one of those guys that ate my way strong. Like I weighed about 275 pounds. I weighed about 90 pounds more than I weigh right now.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10". 5'9 is 5'10", depending on how compacted my fucking lower discs are that day. I've lost about 90 pounds in the course of the last couple of years. And I've done it. Like I've figured out a way to do it sustainably with hunger management control, which is a lot of why Mark and I do what we do. But also, I just saw how the lay of the land was a couple of years ago. I started seeing these fat acceptance craziness, where people are basically saying I could be 300 pounds and healthy, blah blah blah. And I noticed a very serious negative trend in how healthy the country was. And
yeah,
I have a background before I got into YouTube of, I was a healthcare, this blows people away, but I was a healthcare executive for like over a dozen years, for almost 15 years. And on a multi-unit level, I went in and out of ICUs with the basis of nutrition, very sickly elderly people up and down the Eastern United States. And I saw how sickly we were getting as a country. And I saw some very serious systemic issues with the healthcare industry. So I had to kind of make a choice to leave the healthcare industry, a very good paying job, made a very fucking dangerous big leap into working for myself and doing my own businesses. And me and my wife together, my wife is an amazing, amazing yoga instructor and fitness instructor herself. And it's just got, like, kind of tumbled down from there. And I'm one of those people, I think, that in fitness, I'm one of the only, like, I think myself and Mark are some of the only people that actually will not bullshit people, no matter if it costs us our popularity, our whatever. Like, you were before you got on, he was talking about your blue check. It's amazing Mark still has that. I thought they were going to strip that away from him in fucking 2020. I really did.
So before we get any, too much further and like too deep into what we're talking about today, how does Mark come into this? What is, you know, who are you to the audience?
Who am I?
Yeah. I mean, I've looked up, you know, I know who you are kind of, you know, and other people probably do too, but a lot of my listeners are not, they're not like, like in fitness or health or things like that. Right. They're going to be more on the usually conservative political side, but.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for years since I was 17 years old. I started working in gyms. At 19, I started working for the magazines, Muscle and Fitness Flex, Muscle Fitness Hers. 2004, I started a company called Cyvation, sold it in 2011. From there, I started MTS Nutrition with TigerFitness.com and a lot of other brands in the process. So I own approximately 10 brands or so. And basically, whole thing is I got into fitness. I got into the industry because my dad died from complications of type 2 diabetes. My mom's a drug addict. So my journey into this industry isn't one to just make money. A lot of people go like, oh, we're going to sell supplements, make money. I got into this to help people not die. And that was my motivating point. And, you know, every mission statement I've ever written for any of my brands has helped people reach their goals in it. And that is something that I always held near and dear to my heart is the fact that I got into this because I literally wanted to run away from what my parents had become. Now, in the process throughout all this, you know, as I got older, you know, I'm 40, you know, and it's one of those things where I realize now beyond, you know, building muscle and everything, you know, health and wellness is where my mind's at. Longevity. Obviously, I still want to build muscle. I'm a bodybuilder myself. You know, I still want to make gains. But at the end of the day, what's the use of looking good if you're dead? But unfortunately or fortunately, they kind of go hand in hand. Where the number one comorbidity for everything is obesity. So if we can cure society through lifting weights, through cardio, through yoga, through whatever it is, through TRX training, through CrossFit, through skydiving, through swimming, I don't give a shit what you do. You just got to get off your fat ass and move. And that saves the world. But the problem is they want you fat and weak. They want to have power over you. So when you start empowering yourself with fitness, when you start empowering yourself with healthy diet, when you start empowering yourself with hormone replacement therapy as you age, that makes them weaker. That makes you a free thinker. And that is what they're scared of. So as 2020 rolled along, that's when Alan and I, who, you know, we had our differences, but we also, you know, we've been friends. And that's when we, on a parallel, not crossing, no perpendicular, all parallel, we did the same fucking thing the entire year while the rest of the fitness industry sat back and sold bullshit and just fucking went along with it. In the meantime, I got fucking shadow banned on YouTube and I was fucking, Alan's getting death threats. And all I did to get shadow banned was say that, hey, vitamin D has great data on the flu. And this is before we even knew it was called COVID, still Corona.
Right.
And I said, hey, you know, vitamin D is great. It does show some promise of viruses. Just take it. Next thing you know, my views went from like 20,000 to like 500.
How many subscribers did you have?
I had at the time 350.
People are not seeing this. Like they don't understand that. Like that's a big chunk of change for somebody like you. Yeah. And so when they shadow ban you,
my YouTube revenue got cut into a sixth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do not see the back end of that. And that's insane that they can just do that with one video, two videos, whatever they want. The fact that they, and I know that there's the argument like, oh, well, they're a private organization. The problem is that that same private organization has the ability to meddle in government affairs. And that's where that can't necessarily be the case.
Oh, no, you're right. There's the argument for town hall. Like, are they a town hall?
Right. Are they a Section 230? I don't know. No. Like publication. That's what I'm talking. See, that's the thing that, you know, publications are, they can do whatever they want type of thing, but no, that's yeah. That gets me infuriated. But dude, y'all's story is like, that sounds
We're lucky that we're able to even have YouTube. I'm one of those guys. Look, man, I'm not going to claim poverty. Like I live in fucking Brentwood, Tennessee. I'm good. Like woe is me.
You are that type of person. Like that, obviously the type of person that's going to get up and do it. Like, obviously you're not some just YouTuber. That's not all you do. Right. And well, I YouTube's do get annoyed by that. Right.
Yeah. YouTube's not my income. I used YouTube to promote my brands, but in 2020 it was beyond promoting my brands or else I just do fucking band workouts and tell people to fucking stay inside. Instead, I told people to shut the fuck up and be healthy. and start outside. Walking.
Yeah.
And get outside. Yeah, don't be fat. I mean, how many times have Alan and I said, stop being fat? And people are like, how dare you say that? Well, fucking stop being fat. It's a fucking choice.
Right. It's not. Yeah.
God. Like, dude, we're just getting started. If you think
I love it, dude. Let's go. But like, so speaking of fat, you know, the fact that it's like number two in deaths in America. Am I right about that?
Obesity? It's the number. It is the number one killer in America.
Because it also causes heart disease and other things.
90% of all type 2 diabetes, 80% of all cardiovascular disease, 50% of all strokes, and 35% of all cases of cancer are avoidable by lifestyle change. So not just to mention about 400,000 deaths a year are just attributed straight to fucking fatness.
Did you do all this? Like, you did all this research for your book, I'm guessing, right?
Well, no, Mark and I like literally just exchanged studies pretty much back and forth most of the fucking day. Like, we're not the atypical meatheads. Like, Mark and I, out of all these fucking people, and this is where we kind of bash on the rest of the fitness industry, but fuck all them. Because in reality, like, while Mark and I were fucking putting our necks out, I had people calling DHS on my, not DHS, but like animal control in my house saying I was starving my dog to death because my dog's elderly and has cancer. They saw him in a fucking video, so they called fucking animal control. I've had people like that hack my fucking business accounts, all sorts of shit. Like, I get death threats pretty much fucking daily because I'm the first one to say, don't be fucking fat. You're a glutton. Stop it. You know? My main business is I coach about 150 to 200 people at any given time on a daily basis on how to get from a fucking obese weight down to a healthier weight and develop healthy skills, you know, depending on YouTube either. So I'll fucking say whatever the fuck I want that. And you'll know, like, I saw you listed ADHD on your thing. Mark and I actually do occasionally a podcast called the ADHD podcast. we stay away from doing it lately because we don't want to fucking actually lose the accounts because we want to actually help people.
Right. But, yeah.
But I'm not that type of dude that's going to fucking just shut the fuck up. You know, I know I'm right. And at the very beginning, we saw these people, like, everybody else is still doing, like, here's how you get your arm gains. Here's how you get your bicep gains. I'm like, you know, the number one comorbidity for this is obesity. It leads to fucking everything else. If you don't want to fucking die, I mean, we have people that have eaten themselves to the point where they are as frail as elderly people. That's how fucking bad this is. Like, if you are a 300-pound motherfucker, you're as frail as an elder person. You're about to die from what is, for me and Mark and probably you, absolutely just a fucking bad cold. I mean, it's absolutely like, I say bad cold and people get freaked out. It's a coronavirus.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. Colds are coronaviruses. They've attributed it to be like a cold in as far as like getting immunity to it. And then it's kind of as bad as a flu, but
it shares 80% of the same genetic makeup as a regular common cold. That's why we should have been testing for T cell immunity ahead of time to see if people actually had innate immunity. Like, that's the thing. Mark and I come from a scientific background, whereas most of the meatheads come from a meathead background. Now, not to say the bros didn't fucking get it right, because most of the bros had it right.
Dude, they got it right.
You guys sound a lot like Mind Pump. Not, I don't know if that's bad for you guys or a diss.
No,
or
he's good. They're good people, man. They're good people.
I've listened to Mind Pump for like the past 6 months.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, these guys.
I don't pay attention Schaefer, to many other people.
Schaefer? Yeah. Or, anyway. No, I get it. But they are trying to teach people that building muscle is a better way to lose fat than cardio in a way.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what they're trying to say. Right. And that's their whole big shtick is that
You're talking a cardio bunny here. So I'm all about both of them.
Well, that's not. Yeah, I get it. And they do say that. They're like, well, I mean, if you like cardio, you like cardio. And they're not going to say you can't do cardio. That's not the point, you know. But I just
obviously I'm a big fan of building muscle. It's kind of my thing. But at the end of the day, I don't want people to die.
Right.
You know, I think that's the thing. It's like when we state truth, it's like, oh my God, I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, we take it personally when people die of being fat, choices.
And my dad actually had two heart attacks and then he had breast cancer, right? Out of nowhere. But he was also obese, also unhealthy, you know, all that stuff, right? And
you know why he had breast cancer, right?
Yeah. What's up?
Estrogen.
Estrogen? Is that where we're going to go with that? Yeah. He drank a lot of soy milk. I don't know what to tell you, dude. I'm just...
No, obesity.
Okay.
Obesity.
Yeah. Okay.
Obesity causes estrogenic.
Right. Because the fat actually breeds it almost, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
Fat's an organ.
Right. Yeah. And that is essentially what I would attribute it to. And he died from that. And that...
Sorry to hear that.
It was a while back. But here's the thing, dude. That right there was probably the biggest lesson for me in my life. as far as what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And that was try to be healthy, as healthy as possible. Yep. That's when I started, that's when I started hitting the gym. I was like 16. So I was like, let's go, let's do this. And I've never been like, I've never aspired to go and do bodybuilding or any of that stuff. But my whole goal was just, okay, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be as healthy as I can. Right.
See, but so, that needs to be everybody's goal though. Cause here's the thing. Like Mark is sitting in a very like not flattering angle right now. Out of all the fitness people I've met, and I've said this before, even when Mark and I weren't getting along, I said this, when you meet him in person, he is way bigger than what he fucking appears like on camera. Like he's right. One of the very few people that he's like fucking enormous in person. The first time I met him, I was like 280 or 270. And I was like, fuck, he's big. He was like a wall. I mean, he's a fucking very wide man.
So were you overweight when you met him, or were you already working out?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've worked out forever. I was just one of those right. guys that like ate 10 cheeseburgers to get stronger.
Like you know the, I mean? Like, the
bulk, you were strong as shit though. Yeah, yeah. Like he was strong. He was strong as fuck.
Yeah. Like super. Like,
I mean,
I was always the strong guy in the gym, especially for my age, because I'm 50 now.
Okay.
So, and for my age, like I was unmatched, and I'm still like, I'm still pretty strong. I'm definitely really strong for my weight. And I'm still very athletic. You know, I got fucking mad hops and all sorts of shit, but like most people need to have your train of thought. Like most people aren't going to be me or Mark. Like we've trained for fucking what? I've trained for 35 years. You've trained for like 28.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I'm like a naturally gifted athlete. Like, I mean, like I'm naturally gifted athletically. I'm not an athlete anymore. And Mark is too. Right.
Right.
But for the average dude needs to be a little active, not get a fucking beer gut, fucking not eat pizza like it's their goddamn job, and fucking try to be healthy so you can be like proliferate your life and make sure that you can provide for your family and protect them if necessary, you know?
Yes.
But the actual thing right now is that like, and this is actually bothering me with the current state of our affairs. I posted something about this the other day. Like we got a whole bunch of people talking about how like, you better not step on my rights. Don't tread on me. Motherfucker, you can barely walk up a flight of stairs. People can tread on you all the fuck they want. You know, like, I mean, get fucking healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, don't tread on me. What the fuck? I mean, they don't need to tread on you. They can just kind of walk. They can walk past you at a decent pace and fucking avoid you, and you can't do shit.
Yeah. You know, Cernovic posted something on this the other day. You know, it's like you got all these MAGA people, and I'm not a Trump guy, so I'm just going to say that out loud. And they're like, oh, fuck the vaccine, the virus, this and that. And then they're fucking like 400 pounds overweight. And then they get COVID and they fucking die. And it makes us all look stupid.
Yep.
I mean, just unfuck yourself. Have you like, if you go to one of these Murica rallies, there's fitness guys. Like, here's the thing. Like, the fitness community overwhelmingly voted for Trump. Whether you're black, white, everybody's like, fuck, Biden's fucking racist and weird. I'm voting for the fucking weird guy with the weird fucking hair and the orange skin.
Shit.
And you know what? And guess what? And I've been to these fucking I went to a Murica rally. I want to see what it was about. And everybody's fucking fat. And they're the ones like, fuck your mask. And then they fucking get COVID and they fucking die because right. they're fat.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think it's Tim Pool's been writing it. I'm glad all these good fucking high profile people, they're writing that COVID is the pandemic of the obese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it fucking is. 78% of people getting this shit bad are obese.
Yeah, you saw that CNN article, dude. The CNN article that was like healthy 31-year-old or whatever, and you see her and you're like, she's a bowling ball, and you're like, how the heck did that come on the news like that?
Not to mention the obesity is weighted towards the younger too. That's the thing, what people understand. The younger people that die of COVID are the majority obese. If you took 65 and down for hospitalizations from obesity from COVID, it would be in the like 85 to 90 percentile range.
Yeah.
Like those are the natural numbers. Go ahead, Mark.
It should be pretty simple. We should be promoting health. We should be promoting wellness. We should be promoting fitness. We should be distributing quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc to everybody because it's cheap as fuck. India is sending out fucking $2.55 packets of ivermectin, zinc, and vitamin D to people. India, fucking India. They have rickshaws and shit. Yet they figured it out. Oh my God.
I completely agree with you. Here's what I'll say. India has a long history.
Was that racist?
Whatever. I'm not worried about it.
I don't know if
here's the thing, dude. You chose a podcast. I don't have like, I'm not like crazy big. I'm not Tim Pool, you know, yet. Hopefully we'll see what happens. But the point is, I do what I want now. I don't have a PR team. I am the PR team. So when it comes down to it, I'm not worried about, you know, what people say. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, no. What I'm saying is India's, India is not exactly, if you've ever, and I've seen, I've known people gone there. It's right. not America. Like it's not fucking industrialized.
That's what I was going to say.
A lot of it's slummy, yet they've figured out. They've
because here's what I was going to say. So America is worried about the profits, right? India is not. India is they have a long history of not really, they're not socialist, but they have socialistic values as far as handing things out to everybody in a way. So when there's something to hand out, they're going to hand it out to everybody in India. That's how that works. So when it comes down to it, you go to America, you try to do that, it's not going to work. They don't get money from that. America, pharmaceutical companies, they don't get money from handing out vitamin D and zinc because it's cheap as fuck, right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It sucks.
As a question, like, and I, me and Mark have talked about this. When did you realize that COVID was bullshit?
So if you guys watch my podcast, this is, let's see, the first time we reported on COVID was March 2000 and was it 2020? Mm-hmm. Roughly, like right before we started. We are already political. So we already watched like affairs with China and all that stuff all the time. And we knew that there was a virus that's probably going to hit or whatever. We didn't, obviously they didn't know what it was going to call it or whatever. And, and at that point we actually called it the bat flu on the show. And we said, hey, you know, this might be bad. We'll see, you know, basically just treat it like the flu. That's what we said on that podcast. And since that point, it's just gone downhill from there. It's been all profit, all want this, all greed. And I'm like, oh, wow. So I've just stepped out, man. I worked at a dealership for the longest time. I was a technician for the longest time. And we started having to wear masks every day and all that crap, right? Well, even me wearing a mask all day freaking sucks, dude. Like it can't be good. There's no way. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like in February 2020, I flew to Atlanta, two flights, two airports, flew to Atlanta with my wife, spoke at like a 3,000 person seminar, did Q&A afterwards, shook hands with everybody, flew back, had friends from Alabama visit. And then we went on a cruise in early March, right? In early March, I'm in Cozumel, Mexico, and I'm getting shots of fucking tequila poured down my throat by the fucking waitress, basically. and I'm checking like my fucking Instagram and shit like that. And they're talking about 15 days of slow the blah, 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 this bullshit. So I'm smashed drunk. And I fucking type in on my YouTube account, you know, fuck a curfew. The government's not my fucking, and before this, I stayed away from politics, just so you know.
I was going to get to that question eventually.
Before this, I stayed away from politics because I was already like getting death threats from fucking the fat acceptance community. I didn't need to get more death threats, you know? But I fucking said, they're not my mama. and they don't decide when I come fucking home, and they work for me. And I told everybody, and just so you understand, the freedoms you give up now, somebody fought for and died for. You give freedoms away, you have to fight to get them back. So fuck all that shit, right? And they fucking went to cancel my ass fucking hardcore. And I was very clear on the I got home and I did a video. I was like, they're sending college kids home. That's the dumbest. If just speaking as a former healthcare executive, and I have helped write disaster policies, including outbreak policies for multiple counties in America. Like personally, I wasn't like
holy
a dishwasher.
Crap. I didn't find that. Yeah, that's cool.
I was a healthcare executive. Don't let the tattoos and shit like that fool you. You know? God. So I was like, if you think about this, this is a fucking dispersal method. If they actually fucking believe this was super ass deadly, they are sending the low risk population. Cause by then we had already determined that it was elderly and obese people that were mostly fucking dying. There was articles from February 2020 in Italy and in fucking China. Italy, everybody's freaking about it. We don't want to be another Italy. Italy has the worst healthcare system in about pretty much the industrialized fucking world. They also have one of the most unhealthy populations, 30% smoking rate. They have multi-generational family homes, meaning three or four generations, like grandma and grandpa live with the fucking young kids. Mm-hmm. So they're fucking, of course, catching it because they're in the same abode, locked in the fucking house. And that's how shit like this fucking communicates. That's how it transfers. And then we're sending college kids home. College kids have been together for fucking, 6 months? Crawling all over each other from different parts of the fucking country. And then they went on spring break, crawled all over each other, college students from fucking other parts of the fucking country. And then they went back to their colleges. And then instead of, it was really deadly, you shelter every fucking thing in place. You don't fucking move a goddamn thing. You lock the goddamn doors. So instead of doing that, we're going to do 15 days of slow to spread after we send the college kids home. I looked right at my wife and I said, that's fucking bullshit. It's all bullshit. If they really thought this was some sort of super deadly plague that was dangerous to fucking everybody. They would keep those kids where they're fucking at. They wouldn't disperse them across the goddamn country to fucking make it so we're actually sending them home to their middle-aged parents and elderly grandparents. It's fucking moronic.
Well, you have that, you have previous experience in that, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you knew it was like a switch for you.
Oh, I and this is not to toot my own horn, but Mark's horn, but one of the things we say all the time is like, we have a hashtag, I told you so. I mean, I called the IFR. I said, this is more contagious, but probably the same at the same infection fatality rate or a little less than the seasonal flu. It is just weighted to be very, very, very deadly to the elderly and sick people. And for the healthy people, it's obviously next to fucking nothing. Like right. the concept of even impacting a person's life that's under 25 that is healthy at this stage is grotesque to me. It has been the entire time. We are stealing years, mental health, and we are actually stealing these people's health away from them because lockdowns are unhealthy. We knew this too.
Oh,
this
was mentally this, like crazy.
Locking people away, that's what we do to punish fucking criminals. Yeah. It is punishment for a fucking reason, you know? And we literally have taken every step possible. There's been so many fuck ups. The mask thing, dude, I used to teach a class, the OSHA class, on how to put a mask on. You sanitize your hands. You touch a sanitized mask. You put it on your fucking face. Then you fucking sanitize your hands again. You don't touch the fucking mask until you're ready to take the fucking mask off, in which you sanitize your hands, take the fucking mask off, sanitize your hands again. If you're going to put another one on, you grab another fucking sanitized mask and put the fuck on. This shit, like people doing this, like every time I watch-
And hang it from your rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is my fucking favorite. Put it in your purse.
Put in your pocket next to your penis. You know, like what the fuck? Well,
they're also like a lot of them are cloth. And then like, you know, people want to bring up the surgeons. And I'm like, do you know how surgeons use masks? Like it's like 20 minutes and throw away every
time.
Not
to mention that, but surgical masks, surgeons wear masks. So they don't fucking like, I don't want, like if I'm a surgeon, I don't want somebody's ovarian cyst popping and fucking going into my goddamn mouth. And I don't want to accidentally spit into their fucking open womb. Like right. I toured ICUs once
that's
a week.
Fucking nasty.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, woo. That's
a real fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, right. I toured ICUs every fucking week for nutritional guidelines to talk to residents, everything like that for like a dozen years, almost never wore a fucking mask once. Never once wore one, not during flu season, not during anything like that. Never fucking wore one. And then they're telling me I got to fucking wear a mask. I've never owned a mask. I've worn a mask because I flew to see my parents one time. And when I was around my mother is massively immunocompromised, like massively. And I've worn a mask on her even when I fucking, even when it was flu season beforehand, if I felt the slightest bit sick, just because I don't want to accidentally fucking get this shit anywhere. And
right.
even
but then, you're wearing N95, right?
Yeah, I was wearing an N95.
An actual mask that will work. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
sequenced fucking mask. Dude.
They're made in China. We don't even know if they're like, we don't know where they're from. We don't know how they're made perfectly. We don't know if they're going to do the right thing. Like, we have no idea.
And I fit tested it, everything. Like,
right.
Like you wearing a mask with your beard.
What does that do?
Even if you wore an N95, it would just come out. It's like people, if you can smell through that motherfucker, the virus is going to get the fuck out. And they're like, well, you're not going to be spitting on people. I would hope the fuck you're not spitting on me to begin with.
Right.
I'm like in my whole life. It's for people like coughing up. I'm like, who the fuck? Like I've been alive for 40 years. I got coughed on once by a kid in an apartment lobby. I know the time I did once the kid came up, he coughed on me accidentally. And I'm like, and it was actually during the fucking COVID thing. I looked at my wife. I said, well, I guess I'm getting COVID today. Speaking of COVID, I just wanted to kind of like go on like, look man, I'm not a guy. It's not just the flu because it's not the flu. It's a bad cold, like Alan said. And it's worse than the flu for a lot of populations. But for the younger population, which by the way, we have football stadiums filled with 100,000 people, yet we're sending our kids to school in masks. While adults go to football games unmasked, fucking packed like sardines in an indoor or outdoor stadium. Anybody out there who puts a mask on their child is a child abuser and is unfit to be a parent and is also a fucking Satanist piece of shit. You do not mask your children. That is child abuse. That is horrible. And it is dehumanizing, and it is going to ruin them for the rest of their lives. Kids need to see emotion. They need to be able to show emotion. They need to be able to learn how to speak. You need to learn how to read lips. You need all that stuff. What about deaf people? They don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right. No, I know. Well, I've seen
it's absolutely insane. I see these parents. So what I do is I'm like, when we walk by people in Costco or whatever, and their kid have a mask on, I always go, my wife's there, I go, that poor, poor child. And I look straight at the parent. I'm like, you are either stupid, evil, or both. How dare you mask your child? That's horrible.
On an immunological level too, it's very bad. Like children's immune systems need to be exposed to the environment. Like it's an absolute, like this coming up fall season, and this is no shit.
It's gonna be bad
for a lot of people. Like people have locked themselves away for 18 months. People are gonna get fucked up. People have locked themselves away, not been in the sun, fucking sat on their fucking ass, got fatter. We've gotten so much fucking fatter as a
food, I mean, delivery service, bro. Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous.
We've gotten so much fatter, dude. Like I literally was just at the beach with my wife 2 weeks ago at Siesta Key, most beautiful beach in America, by the way. But it was like playing a game of fucking fitness. Where's Waldo to try to find somebody that actually even was in close to physical shape that I was, you know what I mean? And I'm not some Greek god or anything like that. For a 50-year-old, I'm probably in like the 0.00001 percentile range for fitness. But I keep getting people commenting on my level of fitness right now. Like I should be like a little above average. You know, like that's how I gear myself. Like now that I'm not like the fucking, like the human bulk and shit like that. I mean, I should be like a little above average in how I look and right. muscle and everything like that. Right. Because I'm not huge or anything like that. I take good pictures because I've got good genetics.
Yeah.
But I should be like, most everybody should look decently similar to how I look.
I was going to ask that. What are we shooting for here? So like when we say, you know, you're obese or whatever, where's something we can measure to know? Because I know that someone's not going to look like a stick. That's not how that works.
Right? No, it's not about how you look. It's about, right. I don't look, man. There's a lot of people who are in, like, dude, look at Tom Brady's body. The guy has a dad bod. But he's obviously got lower body fat. He's just got shitty. He's got the greatest football genetics of all time. But when it comes to body genetics, the guy looks like shit. But it's not about appearance. It's about actual measurements, right? You look at now BMI for me, I'm a fucking bodybuilder. Nah, that doesn't work. Everybody thinks I'm going to be against BMI. I fucking love BMI because for 99% of the population who doesn't have fucking ridiculous muscle mass like I do, it's fucking awesome. Why would I be selfish? Okay, so I get fucked a little on health insurance. Whatever. Look, man, at the end of the day, 99, there might be, if there's a room full of people, there might be three people who have my problem. Okay, maybe three people. So I'm not even mad at BMI. And I think it's mainly about being within a level of body fat. I'd say for males under 25%, and that's pretty fat. Holy 25% is pretty fat. But for me, anything above 15, I'm crying, right? Like 25%, you get 25% and under, I'm good. For females, 30% and under. I think that's a great place to go. I want you to be able to tie your shoes. I want you to be able to walk up a flight of stairs. I want to know that you're active every day. I want to know that you're eating healthy foods. That's how you measure it. And some people might not be able to get lean. They might genetically have a fucked up metabolism. It fucking happens, you know? But at the end of the day, if you're putting in the work, if you're exercising, if you're eating healthy foods, look, man, you could be a little chunky. Look, man, nobody wants a stick. I like girls with ass. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say everybody needs to look like Kate Moss, if you guys remember her. I'm going to say that, look, man, be active, eat healthy, and the rest will take care of itself. Look, man, help, like sexiness. Here's what I always say. Exercise. Okay. Why? Sexiness is a byproduct of health. Mm-hmm. If you're doing everything right, if you're training, if you're dieting, if you're exercising, if you're doing cardio, if you're taking your vitamins, you're going to fucking look better.
I mean, you're going to look better. You're going to feel better. Feeling better matters. Confidence literally brings your sexiness level up like crazy.
It's the Tom Brady. Tom Brady exercises every day like a madman. He's a fucking beast. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Yet he takes his shirt off and he's got man boobs. Some people just have fucking shitty bodies. That's genetics. Me, look, myself, my daughter, we're all fucking jacked. My brother, professional natural bodybuilder. Yeah. We are fucking we're a jackass family. There's a genetic component. But anybody saying that they eat not, look, dude, nobody ever got obese eating under 2,000 calories.
Nope, ever.
No.
You know, the thing is though, too, if you look at Tom Brady, even what Mark's talking. Like I'm still technically, I think 27 BMI, something like that. I'm technically still overweight, but I also have a 29 inch waist. You know what I mean? Like if you take my waist measurement, I have no visceral fat, and that's a huge killer for men, especially too.
Visceral fat is the killer, bro. Can you tell we get excited about this shit?
Dude, I love it, man. This is awesome. Honestly, yeah, I wanted to have someone on like that could talk to me about the health and the fitness industry as a whole and COVID. And that's literally what I saw Alan's freaking tweet. And I was like, dude, let's go. Let's make it happen.
Well, the thing is, Alan and me were destined to do shit because nobody out there. There is one guy, Bradley Martin. He wouldn't shut down his gym. He went against the grain. He got a lot of flack.
You're talking about the guy with Bradley the huge Martin, beard, right?
No, Brad. No, there's that's a guy Ian. In New York. Ian's the gym owner.
Okay.
Ian's the gym owner. Ian Smith. Bradley Martin. Look him up. He owns Zoo Culture in L.A. The guy's a beast. He's one of those guys that like can fucking hoverboard and bench press at the same time. He's a fucking freak. And he earned a lot of my respect. I would say he is the only one out of the fitness influencers outside of myself and Alan. I'll put us in that little circle who went out on a limb and said, fuck this.
Yeah.
And God bless that man. And they shut down his water in his gym. They shut down his power. He had generators like that guy. I mean, I was kind of indifferent about him. We've met before, spent a little bit of time. The industry is very small. So I know everybody, basically everybody, especially, you know, being a competitor and stuff. And Bradley is the most genuine guy you'll ever meet. But I was still kind of like, I don't trust influencers. You know, I just fucking don't because they're always fake. But I'll tell you what, after what he did, I would take a bullet for Bradley Martin. That guy's a fucking G.
Mark and I talk about all the time. In the fitness industry, 2020 changed everything. I mean, there's like two kind of like, there's people that showed up and spoke up. And then there's everybody that just did their same fucking content.
Tried to make money. Yeah, that's all they're doing.
Yeah, like I mean, if you, it's one thing if you still did your content and you still mentioned like, hey, take your vitamin D. Don't be terrified because the stress and fear alone is an actual fucking comorbidity listed by the CDC.
Oh, for sure. Are you kidding me?
It's insane. You know, the stress alone is listed. But dog, you're fucking pissing me off. Sorry. My dog's pissing me off.
I'm about to call the pet control people. Man.
Jesus Christ. I had to call Mark. I was getting ready to fucking come up and see Mark and I'm like, hey, I might be a little bit the fucking, you know, animal controls in my house saying I'm fucking abusing my animal.
Jeez,
fucking ridiculous. But like what Mark was saying, like, and Mark says he knows everybody. Everybody knows me. I'm literally the fitness industry Voldemort because nobody actually went, even the people that like me don't mention my name because they don't want to be associated with me. Mark is the only fucking one. Just about I like I have because
you're kind of like a cannonball, right? Is that what they kind of think? Like you're just like into it. You're gonna sell it like it is. Like that's
I don't give up. Mark knows like I cannot hold back. Like my wife and I talk about this. It's like we have monetized my social awkwardness and my ADHD and shit like that. Like if I think it fucking comes out, you know, like and unfortunately in a industry full of fake motherfuckers, I happen to point out, well, that's fucking fake, you know?
Right.
And right. It fucks. And sometimes it fucks with people's money when they fucking talk about stupid bullshit. I can say this. I have less interest in the ongoings of like YouTube fitness and the fitness industry now more than ever. I've completely less interest. Mark and I are dedicated to literally helping people get healthy, waking people up. Like I can't find it in me anymore to worry about any kind of little ass drama with different shit. Like I just look at people like, did you speak up? Great. If you didn't, I don't give a fuck about you. You know, like, I mean, I couldn't care less. A lot of people all of a sudden spoke up when Arnold talked about freedom. Like all of a sudden, everybody was all about freedom and shit like that because a big name was attached and they could get some fucking clicks going on, you fucking hookers.
It was a grift. It was a grift. That's why I didn't get involved in it.
Yeah.
I mean, none of those guys fucking spoke up when they really took our freedom away. Arnold saying, fuck your freedom, does nothing for your freedom. How about when they actually took your freedom away?
Yeah. How about when they actually fucking took it away? How about when they how about when they closed fucking gyms?
Well, I like everybody's like, look at what Redcon did. I'm like, you do realize there's no expo at the Arnold. I'm like, they basically pulled out of a non-existent expo. I'm like, you want to know how to fuck? Why don't you go out and tell people to take vitamin D when they're demonetizing shit?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that? But I was like, are you going to the expo? I'm like, guys, there's no expo. Yeah. It's just a show.
I mean, and honestly, we lose all these guys to politics in a way. You know what I mean? Arnold started, right? It's like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. But now he got lost to politics. And I feel like everyone that goes into that somehow, I don't know if it's the money. I don't know.
It's the money.
It's just like all of a sudden it's gone.
It's all money, dude. Money changes people. And I've seen it happen on a small scale, on a large scale. And that's the thing, is that there's nothing that can make me change. In fact, you know, having some form of success has helped me actually be more me, because I don't need more money. I'm good. Like, I could fucking chill, but I do this because it's the right fucking thing to do. I'm trying to leave a legacy for my children. I'm coaching high school sports on my own. I don't have time to do it, but I do it anyway, because it's what I believe in. I want to help foster strong youth for the future. And I don't go in there and wave a MAGA hat, or I don't talk about COVID and all this. What I do is I go in there and I teach them how to lift weights, and I teach them personal responsibility.
I'll be right back.
And I teach them hard work. Do your thing. And I teach them hard work. And that's exactly what I do it for.
Dude, we need that too. You know, we need that for sure. We're going to have it.
We need strong men and women in this country, period. Yeah. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I don't care. At the end of the day, we're surrounded by countries that really don't like us. America's the greatest nation in the world, and we can't have a bunch of soy drinking, skinny jean wearing motherfuckers sticking up for this country. We can't have men who are afraid to walk outside without putting a piece of fucking fabric over their face because they're afraid they might get a little bit sick. Yeah. At the end of the day, we need men to be fucking men. We need women to be strong women. We need people to be strong people. And I say that as someone with a very strong wife. I say that as someone whose daughter has the world record in the deadlift. I say that as someone who does not see, look, man, there are differences between men and women, but man, I've had some strong ass women CEOs and managers, and they're just as good as men. Can they fight as good as men? No. Right. Can they manage as good as men? Absolutely. So whether I'm coaching a female team or a male team, I'm going to give you the strongest group of men and women you have ever seen in your life. And I'm not a chauvinist at all, but I do believe that males have their role. And my role is to provide, my role is to protect, and my role is to nurture as a father. And that's what I'm here for. And that's what I'm doing to all the kids I know, all the kids I coach. Is at the end of the day, every kid I've coached or I am coaching is my child in some way. And that's how I treat it. So when we talk like this, we don't want to offend people, but people need to know the truth. At the end of the day, if you're fat, you're going to die early, and you're going to have a decreased quality of life. You're not going to have energy. You're going to lose the ability to have sex. You're going to have all these bad things happen to you, and it's all preventable. You just need to get a hold of yourself. You just need to grab a hold of your life. You need to take personal responsibility. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to make my life great. And in the meantime, I'm going to make myself healthy, and I'm going to spread the message. I'm going to go help children. I'm going to go help my neighbors. I'm going to get everyone healthy. I'm going to make this world a better place.
Dude, and personal responsibility. That's a big one. That's a big one right now, especially.
My age group and under want us to have that.
They're just like woke culture is literally 27, actually.
It's not just woke culture.
It's not just woke culture.
Because I'm sorry, I know it's a conservative thing. Let's be real. It's not like Trump was trying to get people healthy either. Okay.
Trump's fat. You're right. Yeah. You're right. And when I say woke culture, though, you got to understand there are woke culture exists across political spectrums. I know people will say it's not on the right side. No. It definitely exists. Yeah. And I think woke culture to me is literally just this society that we're creating that has no personal responsibility. That's literally it to me. Yeah. That's how I see it.
You know, what's more cruel to people? Like, we get into this all the time. I get told to be nicer all the time. Like, good luck with that. But the thing is, what's nicer? Like me telling you, hey, you are fucking morbidly obese. Do you want to see your grandchildren? Maybe you should fucking not be, you know, how about this? I'll help you not eat 4,000 calories a day. I'll try to help you reduce your hunger levels. I'll try to come up with either methods, I do a hunger management method, which I use myself. Me and Mark will try to come up with compounds to help you reduce your hunger on a biological level. We'll do all these things for you. But at some point in time, you're going to have to accept the fact that you're a fat fuck. You made yourself that way. And even if you were a fat fuck as a kid, once you're an adult, you remained a fat fuck. And if that is considered mean, the truth is considered mean, I'm sorry, but I would rather be that kind of mean than be the fucking evil it is to tell a 300-pound person that they're fine. That's fucking evil.
Yeah,
there's some, there is something sinister about that. Like, so when I, if somebody says that to a fat person, it is evil to the fat person in a, the most selfish way fucking possible. Because the person saying it to the fat person is either trying to get the fat person to like them back, or they're trying to make themselves feel better about it themselves for not not hurting this person's feelings. They do not have the fucking balls to tell somebody the truth. That is fucking cowardly and evil.
Hey, Alan, I have a story I forgot to tell you. So my wife and I bought my wife a new car because my daughter's getting our Jeep. And so we're at the dealership. Well, we bought the car together. She earns whatever. We own the companies together. Yeah. So I was buying the car because I had to sign the papers because my name's on the company. That's what I meant. Don't want to get in trouble. So anyway, so the guy, we go in to get the finance manager is overweight. He goes, hey, where do you work out? I go, I'll go to Carbon Culture. It's a great gym. Come there. I'll give you a tour myself. And he goes, well, you know, I don't know how to find the motivation. I'm like, he's like, can you help me find the motivation? I'm like, well, yeah. Do you mind if I just speak openly? He goes, oh, go ahead. I'm like, you're going to fucking die. If that's not motivation enough, you're going to fucking die. And my wife's like, yeah, you're going to fucking die. You know? And it's like, there's your fucking motivation. You don't want to fucking die. Mm-hmm. Like how the fuck, I don't understand people who say, I don't know. How do you find the motivation to work out? How do you not? Like God gave you, whether you're okay, I'm pretty religious now, but God gave you the ability to move. He gave you the ability to build, to make your muscles stronger, to be more flexible, to move better, to do these wonderful things. And you're going to take God's gift and just say, no, I'm good. I'm going to just sit around and fucking eat Cheetos and watch fucking Pornhub. You know, it's like, why is it hard to motivate? Like you're fucking alive. There's your motivation. Maximize your day. Look, man, I've been up since 4 a.m. It's 6:11 p.m. here. Okay. At the end, I'm still flying, dude. I'm still rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm about to take my kids to do their athletic things in about 5 minutes. I have to sign off. But at the end of the day, man, we're in a situation where we have a bunch of people who are told by the government that we'll take care of you. Nobody's coming to fucking save you.
Yep.
Nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody cares. Okay, that's the beautiful thing about America. Nobody fucking cares. That's Ben Shapiro said this. Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares that you're black or you're, nobody cares. People just want to take care of their own shit and be left the fuck alone.
Okay, that's so how it is. Are we? Okay, so before you get out of here, you know,
yeah,
my last big thing for this whole podcast was like a way, how do you get that message out? You know what I mean? I know Alan's written a book. I know you just constantly are in your, like your teaching high schoolers like and all that stuff. Okay. There you go.
My I have a lot of books as well.
But right now in society today, is it another book or is it, how do we do this? What are we doing? Are we doing conferences? Messaging. Like what are we messaging? So social media
messaging. You just, honestly, the answer is in my opinion, you just need to tell the truth. And we need to understand that numbers don't lie. And anybody saying that you can be healthy and overweight is lying. You can live. It's like, well, I'm fat and I can still do this. And it's like, well, that's great and all, but your quality of life is diminished. And there is not one statistic out there. There's not one credible study that shows that obese people or even overweight people are as healthy as normal weight or healthy weight people. So if you're alive, that's great. But how much are you giving up? How much of your life, how much of your quality of life are you sacrificing because you can't put the cookie down?
I mean, a big thing is we as men, especially, you know, have to set the standard of, there's got to be some sort of base standard of like reality. You can't just sit around and expect life to fucking hand shit to you. Like we have almost no expectations, especially the younger portion of America. Like like I said, I'm 50. So like you're actually young enough to be my child, and your generation, you're like a fucking anomaly in your generation, because most of them are fucking weak ass, fucking pussy ass motherfuckers. Like, and I can say,
I attribute some of that to Texas. Just want to say that.
Yeah, and I can say that because the fucked up thing about it is like, people, I get so all the time, well, you'd never say that shit in person to anybody. Mark has seen me say, I will say any fucking thing to any fucking buddy.
I've definitely seen it.
I mean, I'm sorry, but like, you think I'm when you see me, my head is full of scars for a fucking reason. I grew up fighting. I don't give a fuck. You know, like if you come for me, you better sharpen your motherfucking claws. That's all I gotta fucking say. You know?
Yeah.
But these people, they just want to be like, we need to get this message out there by saying enough. Enough of this bullshit. Enough of this fat acceptance bullshit. Enough of dudes like thinking like, well, a dad bod's okay. No, it's not. You know why? If you can't see your fucking penis when you look straight down, you're gonna have a fucking hard time having sex later on. 30-year-olds with serious visceral fat is a problem. I mean, it's a problem. Like, especially when they have weak shoulder development, weak arm development, that just shows that it's just visceral fat.
My whole thing is that right there seems like an easy, like, you don't even have to go to the gym every day to fix that.
No.
You have to go two or three times a week.
Go for a fucking walk.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on here to be able to fix that, especially if it's just visceral fat. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I can't say much because I haven't.
Yeah, cardio has been shown to decrease visceral fat more than diet.
Yeah.
And diet's more of a subcutaneous fat thing. I mean, there's plenty of data out there. But at the end of the day, you know, as I go, I just want to end on this note. You guys can keep this going. I appreciate everything. But, you know, everything we do is out of love, you know, and we get fired up because, honestly, we're tired of seeing people die. You know, nobody took COVID more seriously than Alan and myself. Both of us independently not only downsized, but we paid more attention to prophylactic vitamins, and we got more sunlight, and we researched and researched and researched. And what we found is that's the way to go. It's not hiding in your house. It's not putting on a mask. It's taking responsibility for your health and your immunity. And that's what we did. So, you know, on a parting note, I'd just like to say that, you know, we don't have to live life in fear. And I said this to my wife at the bus stop. One of the parents is wearing a mask. I'm like, when can we take them off? When are they going to feel safe? I have a very bad feeling that these masks will be around for some people for years, because it's been 2 years and they're still walking around with a piece of fabric over the mouth. At the end of the day, do you want to live life in fear or do you want to live life? And that's a question that we should all ask ourselves. But on that note, I appreciate you having me on.
Hey,
I'm
going
to go take
pleasure.
Thomas to his thing. And yes, thank you so much, brother. And Alan, I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
See you tomorrow, man.
Yes, sir.
But my thought on it, dude, like to add on what Mark said, when this first happened, Mark and I actually weren't talking. We hadn't talked about 9 months or something like that.
Right.
Just for like ridiculous, like fitness bullshit, you know?
Right.
Like I said, 2020 changed everything.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And like, all of a sudden, like, and Mark is a big dude.
Like, so essentially you're saying like you guys were like the quote unquote real ones. So you're like, okay, we need to be friends. Is that kind of how that went?
We were always friends. It was like a fucking childhood, like fucking we're fitness people. We're bitches too. Like no shit. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Before 2020, it's all fun and games, like back and forth, YouTube comments, fucking razzing each other. It's like shit like that. Like after that, like I told everybody, I have a large, like, for being not as well known as Mark, I'm well known, but like I said, people try not to mention me because they don't know what that'll bring. Like sometimes if they mention my name, it brings the fans of people I've upset.
Sure.
Or like if I mention their name, normally they get fucking like, oh shit, what's he gonna say? Because
I
have no problem. I have no problem saying that's fucking stupid. That you look like a fucking amateur. And for a lot of these guys, I didn't come from their world. Like I got into this when I was 45. A lot of these kids are young. They all have six packs. They all have everything like that. But I bring actual healthcare experience and knowledge.
Right. That's what I'm interested in. I didn't know that about you. So that healthcare part, that the fact that you were able to work on, you know, the plans whenever pandemics hit or whatever means you have some say in what would have happened.
Now, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. But like when you're in the industry, you fucking understand what's what, you know.
Sure.
And this is something you probably have seen. You'll probably get grasped from both Mark and I. We research relentlessly. I refuse to not know, you know, I at all. For a while I was getting daily downloads of the CDC. I built a spreadsheet that got daily downloads of the CDC numbers on deaths, you know, on deaths, hospitalizations, cases, the numbers on cases is stupid anyway, because it's just, you don't test healthy people. It's fucking stupid. You know, first of all, we have these people going to testing facilities, probably getting infected with fucking COVID. It's so stupid. It was so moronic. Like everything we did was stupid. Like the 6 feet thing, somebody yanked that number out of their fucking ass. It's an aerosolized vapor. Aerosolized vapor can go up to 30 fucking meters. That's the truth. I mean, it's just,
I know, dude. But even still, like the bigger droplets were the ones that were going to be probably holding the whatever virus, and those fall like immediately. So what are we doing? You know,
it was just moronic. But
yeah,
like you're wondering how we get the messaging out. We have to like wake people up to say like you're not healthy. A huge portion of the problem is for a good decade, we have told people that what is actually healthy or what is unhealthy is healthy. Like the average size dude right now, like a 200-pound male, most men are 200 pounds are fat fucks. Like if you're listening out there and I just offended you, you're a fat fuck.
Well, I mean, because average height, what is the average height? 5'8"?
5'8", 200 pounds.
I'm 5'7", so that makes sense. Yeah.
As reality, I mean, if you see pictures of me, I'm 185 right now at about 5'9", 5'10".
Right. So, damn.
And I'm considered overweight. And right. I'm put together. You know, like, I mean, yeah. I'm not.
Well, that's why I asked earlier, like I wanted to know what the definition would be. And I guess it is like, you know, fat percentage, right?
I'm actually overly big. I've lost about 10 pounds of body mass, of lean body mass, of muscle mass in the last year on purpose. So, cause I was huge. Like I used to eat like 10 McDoubles at a sitting just to fucking get stronger. Like I would sit down and eat like fucking thousands of calories, just get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
Like what that does is while I accumulated a lot of fat, I also had a ton of fucking muscle mass on me. Like, you know, like that is non-serving. Like my goals shifted a couple of years ago when I started getting more involved in the actual health aspect of fitness, where like my goal is to be 90 years old and be ready to dance at my grandchildren's weddings or my great grandchildren's weddings. That's my goal, you know? Like I don't want anybody to have to wipe my ass. I was in the healthcare industry and I had many, many long-term care, skilled nursing and stuff like that, where we were seeing younger and younger and younger people who hadn't taken care of themselves have to be fucking helped out. Like it's not even necessarily obesity for that sort of thing. If you don't take care of your health when you're young, like you don't get some movement in, if all you do is you sleep and then you wake up, you sit, you eat 2,000 calories of sugar, you drive to work sitting down, and then you fucking sit all day at work, and then you sit on the way home, and then you eat another 2,000 calories, and then you fucking sit and watch TV. If you sit all fucking day long, you're going to need somebody to fucking wipe your ass for you when you're fucking 60.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a bad thing, people. And it's one of these things where both sides, the woke and the based, basically need to fucking wake up to the fact that like I find it amazing that we're not going to wake the true woke folk up. Like they really do. Like it's a very slay queen slay. I can be fat and healthy and you can't tell me if I'm healthy or not. Like you have literally fucking 100 pounds of fat rolls on you. I can pretty safely say you are not fucking healthy.
I think, you know, mentally too, on that aspect, that's why I don't think there's much changing that, because like they're mentally unstable as well.
Well, obesity causes cognitive impairment.
Right.
Like biologically. Like
it affects your CNS and stuff like that too, right? Like
Like when a person's obese, right? So basically here's how this works. When a person accumulates fat cells, or they're charging their fat cells, meaning that they have enough calories that their fat cells stay swole of energy. They stay completely full. Because when you lose fat, you don't actually lose fat cells. You just lose the fat actually expels the energy out of them. But when you're accumulating fat cells, like say one fat cell is right in the middle, right? And a bunch of fat cells form around it. That fat cell, the one in the middle, gets choked out. It doesn't get enough circulation. So it technically dies. So your body sends what's called macrophages to the fat cell and it eats it. It's basically your immune response, right?
Okay.
So like if you have an acute injury, your body sends macrophages to create swelling and everything like that in order inflammation to help protect the injury and heal the injury. But it kills that fat cell. And when the fat cell dies, it's eaten up by the macrophages. It releases things like tumor necrosis factor A, interleukin-1, interleukin-6. These are all highly, highly inflammatory things. These are things that cause systemic inflammation. Now, acute inflammation through injury is a good thing. It heals up, it goes away, we're good. But chronic inflammation that's caused by obesity leaves the body in a chronic inflammatory state. And that's what causes everything from heart disease to asthma, lung disorders, those sorts of things. Like that's why when you hear a fat person having a hard time breathing, it's partially from obstructive sleep apnea, but it's also because their lungs are fucking in a constant state of inflammation, you know? So, and it suppresses their immune system because their immune system is constantly fighting off the fat that it has. That's why they get sick easier. I mean, these are actual biological, proven, factual fucking things. Like, so when people say I'm 300 pounds, you can't, but don't tell me if I'm healthy or not. I just biology, motherfuckers. And here's my thing. Even about that, if you're 300 pounds, there is this thing we've known about for a while called fucking gravity. And like your joints are only meant to care, like structural and biological, like structural maximums exist. Like certain materials, like your bones and your cartilage, are only designed to support so much fucking weight on top of it. You know, so you just can't be healthy and obese, but you are in a chronic inflammatory state, and it can even cause what's called neuroinflammation, which is actually swelling in the fucking brain. And that's why for a lot of fat people, there's cognitive issues, sleep issues, those sorts of things, right. Immaturity issues, those sorts of things, where it's an actual thing. Like, that's why when I see I see obese direct, secretaries of health and directors of health and stuff like that. Like, what the fuck? Get yourself, I almost like when you see a 400 pound person making health judgments, like the Belgium health director is like 400 pounds. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna question your fucking judgment. Like, I mean, it's reality,
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just not a biologically healthy state. You cannot.
I think that the fitness industry has for a long time since questioned like government things like that anyway, like as far as like the pyramid, you go from the food pyramid to what we have now, like that they said, don't eat margarine. And then now they're saying you can eat or don't eat butter, eat margarine. Yeah. And sure. Now they're saying you can eat butter. And it's like, what the heck? And no one knows.
Grains are not a food group. Your body, like you technically do not even need carbohydrates. Your body will run perfectly fine off just fat and protein. I don't suggest that. Like I still take in carbohydrates every day. Not much though. I'm very low carb. And I only,
what the top of the freaking food pyramid is? It's bread, right?
Right.
It's like, ridiculous. What the heck are we doing?
And the fucked up thing is I've run a few polls and stuff like that to get like 20 or 30,000 responses. The four most binge upon things in order are pizza, bread, ice cream, and cheese. And cheese is like a 10% one. And the cheese, a lot of times, is where people it's like more of an emotional thing too. But pizza is the number one binge food. And pizza is the everything food. It's marketed to everybody. It's like if your girlfriend breaks up with you, the dudes bring over pizza. The football games happen, you bring over pizza. It's your birthday, let's get a pizza party. Let's do it, like blah, blah, blah. It's like people just gorge this shit,
Yeah.
So, and it's like it has sugar, it has salty, it has fat, it has bread. And when like sugar is a drug. And I'll leave us on this argument. I want people to think about this. When you're thinking about the best thing you can do for your life, the best thing you can do for your life is take your body weight in pounds, divide it in half. And that is the minimum amount of ounces of water you should take in a day. So minimum, if you work out, add more. If you live in a humid climate, add more, but minimum. And I've had a lot of people be like, well, I weigh 300 pounds. It's 150 ounces of water. Yeah, your fat ass needs it. Just to be real, okay? But beyond that, try to cut out sugar. If you cannot cut out sugar and processed flour for 15 days, you should ask yourself why. If it's because of it's a convenience thing, you should maybe check out your life and see if you can make it so you can make it a little bit better to eat actual whole foods, like actual fucking food, like proteins from animals or from plants, plants, vegetables, fruits, okay? But if it's because you're addicted to sugar, which most people are, you should get some fucking help, because here's how sugar is addictive. I want you to think about cocaine. Cocaine is made from coca leaves. Coca leaves have been chewed on by Colombian farmers for fucking hundreds of fucking years. They chew on it. It's a mild stimulant. It actually has some antioxidant effects, and they show no signs of addiction. They just chew on the fucking leaf, right?
Yeah.
When you process it, grind it down, remove all the other nutrients from it and like that, and make it into a substance called cocaine, and it enters and you ingest it, it enters the system quickly and produces a serious euphoric effect. It often has the result of the person building up a tolerance to it, and then they'll keep seeking out more and more and more and more and more of it, even though they know it's damaging their life and their health, right? It's cocaine addiction, right? Sugar cane is not actually a bad fucking thing, but when you process out all the fiber, when you process out everything else like that, and you just end up with added sugar, with processed sugar. Sugar is something that, once ingested, enters the bloodstream quickly, produces a dopamine response in your brain, produces all sorts of other hormonal responses such as insulin levels. It crushes ghrelin. It makes you hunger, makes you hungrier.
Yeah.
Just from ingesting it. And the person will ingest more and more and more of it to chase that euphoric feeling.
Yep.
Even though it is negatively affecting.
Cause it's like super health. Palatable and everything else. Yeah. Like that's why they add it to everything.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give people is view sugar like you view alcohol, view it like a drug, and drink it or consume it with the same care you would alcohol,
Right.
And that would help a lot of people. And it's getting dark on me.
I know. I got you. Hey, man, but I appreciate you guys coming on, and I appreciate this whole conversation, because I haven't gotten to have someone like you come on and talk, and just because I preach this stuff all the time, but it's like empty for me, because it's like I'm not a fitness professional, so they're not going to trust me. I'm like, okay, well, dude, because I never was a guy that was like really overweight. You know what I mean? And I guess, I was lucky that way, I guess, genetics, whatever.
So people are like, oh, you don't understand, and it's not blah, blah, blah.
Right. And I'm like, no, I, My whole family is obese, dude. Yeah, my whole family is. And I'm like, so how did I come out this way? I don't know. But I just, I'm always active, man.
That's how, like, I eat in a way, like, I combine a lot of things. I do the thing called the hunger management method where I focus on most of my fluid before my first meal. My first meal is almost always just protein, like a steak. And then my evening meal normally has vegetables and more protein. And then if I have anything that tastes sweet, I view that as my evening treat.
Right.
And I do that a couple times a week. And that's normally like a sweet potato or one of Mark's Outright bars or maybe some protein powder with yogurt just for the probiotics.
Yeah.
I try to keep that minimally processed. I eat about 90 to 95% whole foods, no process. I once a week have something just for pleasure because I'm actually diagnosed binge eater from all the eating. So right. I have to keep that in check. I can't feel too restricted. Otherwise I end up binging. But so the method works well for me and it normally works well for everybody because it's kind of low carb and I push my sugars off until the evening. So I don't have that biological response making me hungry all day. If I ate sugars first thing of the day, I'd be very, very, very hungry all day. But Mark and I are also coming up with a few things where we have a few compounds that really work on the biological mechanisms of hunger and biological mechanisms of inflammation and those sorts of things, blood sugar control, stuff that's not pharmaceuticals to where it's harsh and stuff like that. So you'll hear more about that later. We appreciate the platform, dude. We really, really do.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity because it is really time. People need to wake up
and
understand that we need to if we want to save America, we need to make America fit again. We need to make America strong again before we can fucking possibly make America great again.
Dude, you're so right, man. And like I said, yeah, honestly, if you guys want to come on again anytime, just let me know. I'm always down. All right, man. If there's anything big coming up, whatever. I love that you guys have so many freaking brands. So anyone listening right now, you guys can check them out. Yeah, they're on Twitter. You've got Alan Roberts. You want to say your tag? Is it Alan _ Roberts or
no? It's the MFing COO. My wife is the CEO of all of our companies.
So
I'm the MFing COO. I'm the MFing
CEO. Okay. Yeah. On Twitter. And then Mark Lobliner is on Twitter as well. I think it's just Mark Lobliner, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Mark's and famous, then famous. Yeah. He's famous, right? Yeah. You can find them and then find their companies, everything from there. I went to their websites. The book seems awesome. It's obviously straightforward. You guys heard Alan the whole podcast. So, you know, he's a straightforward guy. Besides that, guys, you know, I think it's time.
Wake up. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Stay toasty, guys.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. therealskyday.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.